Welcome to the Anti-Woke Podcast. Let's roll. I was listening to the Fifth Column podcast, and one of the guys was really laying on the caveats. Like, he had a point that, you know, maybe he's not politically correct or whatever, the mainstream wouldn't like. And so he'd have to do a whole bunch of caveats before he made his point. He's, you know, like, Trump is a bad guy. You know, no one thinks that Trump is a good guy. He's probably committed tons of crimes. He probably committed this crime. And then finally, but that court case against him is politically motivated horseshit. And they live in New York, and he's talking about how crime is out of control, but he's got to be like, you know, there was racism in the past, and then the cops weren't very nice to the black youth. And if they found you with a joint in your pocket, then, you know, they came down on you hard and you didn't deserve it. And finally, crime is out of control and they need to throw all these young punks in the slammer. And then he did the same thing with immigration. You get the idea. It's not virtue signaling. I mean, I find myself doing it sometimes. You start talking about the transers and you're like, no one should be discriminated against. Everyone deserves to be their own self and live the way they want to live and be happy as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. And keep your hands off our kids. And one time I tried to create an acronym for that to just be able to get it out of the way real quick. Something like, you know, live your life the way you want, not be discriminated against. So that would be like, live life way want. So LLWWNDA. And I'd be like, okay, remember, Luwa Enda. But did you hear about that transer who went into the girl's bathroom and was showing off her junk to an 8-year-old? Or his junk, or whatever. And I was thinking, you know, someone could do like a page or a book or whatever, just like all the caveats. You could have all the caveats, and then anyone who wants to talk about any of this stuff that's, you know, not acceptable to the mainstream, you'd be like, all the things that are said in the anti-woke disclaimer book aside, now let's, you know, get to the point. So you don't have to do 5 minutes of disclaimer and caveats and then 1 minute of the thing you actually wanted to talk about. So, you know, that sounds kind of good, but I was thinking about it. The point of the caveats and the disclaimer, no one believes you, no one cares. The point is the time. Like, you could do 5 minutes of don't discriminate against trans people and they should be able to live the way the life that they see, you know, they feel as their own. You could do 5 minutes of that, or you could just do, okay, let me do, you know, and then you say, but they should stop waving their willies in front of little girls. Or you know, it would be just as good to say, let's do 5 minutes of silence for trans whatever. And then you say, they should stop waving their willies in front of little girls. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what you say. People don't care. What it is they want you to waste some of your time. They want you to waste some of the listener's time. And you know, that is the point. That's the feature, not the bug. You're basically like, let me show you that I'm a good person by bowing down to all these beliefs and then say the thing I want. And there's no shortcut to being a good person to the mainstream. Recent Blocked and Reported podcast is talking about the death of Nex Benedict, N-E-X. That's the person's first name. And Nex is a 16-year-old Oklahoma high school student who's non-binary, N-B if you're cool, non-binary. I think that's four syllables. Are you saying non-binary so often that four syllables is too much? Well, try out N-B. It's only two syllables. You can save two syllables every time you say it. And reminder, non-binary means you're a young girl or woman who cuts their hair really short, you don't like Trump supporters, and you still like the D. But maybe in college you'll get into the V for a while. But so Nex Benedict, I'm sure Nex is not their original name, although you never know, N-E-X. They got into a fight with three girls in the bathroom at this Oklahoma high school, and then Nex died the next day, and then it's kind of a hate crime hoax. We don't know. As I'm recording this, we don't know what killed her. The cops said it wasn't the fight. There's never been any evidence that the fight was because Nex was non-binary. Anyways, it's the classic capitalism of the oppression Olympics, supply and demand. The demand for a murder of a person because they're non-binary is through the frickin' roof. And the supply of it is basically zero. So you make it up. And people have been trying to use this as a way to get a pound of flesh out of Libs of TikTok, who's a Twitter influencer who takes videos from TikTok of like teachers saying, you know, like literally saying, "I am turning the kids gay," and then she'll put it on her Twitter account and then it will blow up, and then the teacher will be embarrassed. I wanted to be famous, but not amongst right-wingers who follow Libs of TikTok. And people are calling Libs of TikTok a stochastic terrorist, that she's responsible for this hate crime murder of Next Benedict, even though it turns out that it was a hoax. And stochastic terrorism, let's see, stochastic is a word from math. I think it just means random. And the idea is, say you have 1 million followers on the internet. If you say that some person is bad to your 1 million followers, well, you know, that you're not saying go murder that person. But if you say it to enough people, one of them is going to have schizophrenia and go do something bad, do some terrorism. So you're a random terrorist, a stochastic terrorist, because you're rolling the dice. And if your dice has 1 million people on it, then maybe you'll, you know, roll a 7. Baby needs a new pair of shoes. Go do some terrorism. Stochastic terrorism is an idea to try and shut down free speech, because you can't tie people's words to any individual event that of violence, but you want to, so you say, well, you know, they said it to so many damn people, one of them must have been violent, so they caused that violence. Therefore, no more free speech for you. But Blocked and Reported, I don't know how famous they are. I bet my listeners don't listen to them, or maybe they do. It's a good, pretty good podcast. It's like a left-wing anti-woke podcast. I think it's one of the biggest podcasts of that category. I don't think it's as big as the right-wing anti-woke ones. But Katie Herzog, she's the lesbian on there, and I love her. She's great. She's very anti-woke. She's like, "I brought someone on to talk about this. They're a conservative." And he's like, "Well, actually, I'm gay and I'm not a conservative." So I guess nice try. I'm sure she will not read it or care, but I tweeted it, Katie. It's like, the next time you have a conservative on there, get someone who is a Trump supporter, because they've done this before. In America today, to be on the right wing pretty much means, are you a Trump supporter or not? Because Biden is, you know, giving money to the rich and starting foreign wars. So, you know, and that's now left wing. So that ain't the right. Left and right have switched. Left and right never meant anything. Or people's deeply held beliefs, turns out, were not deeply held. It was just a matter of, do you hate the other side? Yes? Okay. So this podcast, they start off with a bunch of caveats. Isn't it terrible that this happened? And, you know, you shouldn't go online and say these things. And, you know, I just fast forward. I listen to it on Bluetooth headphones, and one of the buttons is fast forward 30 seconds, and I just was like, fast forward, oh, they're still doing caveats, fast forward, trans people should be treated with respect, fast forward, race is a social construct, fast forward, but this gay guy who's a stand-in for conservatives, he did some sort of research into the murder of LGBTQ2IA plus people. And apparently HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, that's the organization that gives a grade to all the corporations in America on how well they're doing gay stuff. And, you know, number go up, makes them more gay, makes them turn kids gay if their company deals with kids in any manner. And they put out reports saying these gay people are being murdered. The queers are being murdered by the damn Trump supporters. But he did a study, and in fact, across the board, every kind of queer gets murdered less than the straight version of that kind of person. All right, you got to say it that way, because black queers get murdered more than straight white people, because blacks get murdered so much more, because blacks murder each other so much more. But I have said, and maybe I was wrong, but I thought that, like, black trans women, you know, the women with the penis that are black, I thought they just got murdered at the exact same rate as black men, because they basically are black men. But apparently, black trans women actually get murdered less than your normal black man, even when they're prostitutes. And they also mentioned that if you do like man on the street interviews of left-leaning people and say, how many unarmed black men are killed by cops each year? You'll get answers like 1,000, 10,000, when the real answer is about 12. And so right there, that is all you need to know to say the next thing, the thing that I always say that no one else ever says, but that means that Black Lives Matter is a false conspiracy theory and a hate crime hoax. It is a hate crime hoax wrapped in a false conspiracy theory wrapped in an enigma. So, okay. 12 unarmed black men are killed each year by police. People think it's 1,000. In actuality, about 1,000 people total are killed each year by police of all races, and they're almost all armed. And I know all that. Here was the interesting part. Katie says a big-ass chunk of them are suicide by cop. So I haven't seen the actual stat on that, but that's interesting to me. So every year, you know, maybe 10,000 black men die from, in quotes, gun violence, and then 10, 20,000 white men die from, in quotes, gun violence. But the black men are shooting each other, murder style, whereas the white men are committing suicide. I mean, broadly. And I think they're starting to cook the books now to make it look like whites are not the people necessarily who are being killed by cops. The largest category, racial category of people killed by police is white people, although I think they're trying to cook the books to make it be black people to retroactively turn some of these false conspiracy theories into, you know, halfway believability. Like, the Washington Post has a police shooting database thing online, and you can click on different things and you can break it down, you know, this year, that year, this race, this gender. And to my knowledge, it always had more unarmed white people killed by police than unarmed black people. But I went and checked it recently, and now the number of unarmed black people is higher, just a little bit. Again, we're talking, you know, like maybe 12 people. But what the Washington Post has done is they've created a big old category of, I forget if they called it other, or I think they called it other or unknown. So, like, you know, the numbers used to be something like 12 unarmed black men killed by police, 15 unarmed white men killed by police, and that would basically be it. And now when you go there, it's like 12 unarmed black men killed by police, 5 unarmed white men killed by police, and 10 unknown people killed by police. Or other, you know, 10 others. Anyways, they're just taking the white people, putting them into a different category that's not called white, so they can get the white number smaller than the black number, and therefore justify rioting in the streets. I learned this week that elephants sometimes bury their calves when they die. And I think maybe they get together and sing to the body, almost like a funeral. Nothing anti-woke about it. I just thought that was kind of crazy. Learned it from the BBC. And I looked up an image of it on Google image search. And I think it's hard for elephants to dig a grave. The baby elephant was feet up with the 4 feet showing out of the dirt. I think that was the best they could do. How about all of Trump's trials? Well, Trump is working on that $500 million he may owe from the trials that happened last week. I think he's trying to get it down to $100 million before he goes to appeal or something. It's like deposit on layaway. And the Georgia January 6th trial, the DA she's on trial whether or not she's been sleeping with her underlings too much. And that trial ends this week, but we're not going to know if she gets kicked off of the case or not until at least next week. It looks like she should be kicked off the case, but but most importantly, the judge who would kick her off the case, he's up for re-election shortly. And he's in a black county, so he's got to decide if he wants to possibly lose his job by kicking her off the case. And he could just squash the whole case so that, you know, if she's gone, some other prosecutor might take over or decide not to, or he could just squash the whole thing, and then maybe he could run for some sort of Republican position that's not a judge. I don't think he's going to kick her off the case. We will see. He used to work under her as the DA for years. I would like to know if he liked her as a boss. We don't know that one. And then the New York case is coming up next month. That may be the only real case against Trump that we ever actually see. It seems like that case against him is pretty weak sauce. That's the paying hush money to a porn star. The classified documents federal case, that one just kind of simmering or nothing. I don't know. I think lawyers are emailing each other. That's it there. And it's not likely any of that will happen before the election. And then the important one, when you're Joe Biden trying to interfere with the election, is the January 6th federal case. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, the woke D.C. appeals court said, string Donald Trump by his testicles. But this week, the Supreme Court jumped in. And they said, we want to look into this testicle stringing up thing. And what that means is it's going to take them a while to look at it, and then take them a while to come up with a judgment. And just every bit of time passing makes it more likely that this will not happen before the election. And then if Trump wins, it's his DOJ, just like it right now is Biden's DOJ. And it turns out you can be as corrupt as you want with those things. And so, you know, I think Donald Trump would probably be in the right, but anyways, he can squash it when he's president. And people on the left would be like, that's a DOJ being corrupt. Okay, I wrote down some dates. So the Supreme Court is going to look at it the week of April 22nd, and then their decision comes in either May or June. If it comes in June, Trump is golden. If it comes in May, Trump's probably still okay, but things are starting getting a little iffy. Because the DOJ has a rule, it's not a law, but just a rule, that they don't prosecute politicians after Labor Day when they're running for an office. What day is that? September 2nd. So Trump is trying to get the courts to... Well, okay, so if the Supreme Court, for instance, doesn't say anything until June, I mean, what they're going to say is, yeah, you can prosecute, you know, start prosecuting Trump again. But they'll say that in June, and then the actual judge in charge of the case will be like, okay, Trump, now you have 2 months to start getting ready for the case. And then, what does that go? July, August. So maybe then you could start the case in August, which would be before September, but the court case is going to go for months, probably. So then, I mean, basically, it would be going in September. I guess they could start it before Labor Day. But I guess they don't want to have it running past Labor Day, months past Labor Day, all the way up to the election, past the election. And the question that the Supreme Court is looking at is, how much immunity does a president have? They currently have complete immunity from civil cases. You cannot sue a president for money. But criminal cases, we don't know. Like back in the Richard Nixon Watergate days, they were starting to think about charging him with some felonies or crimes, but then he got pardoned, so we never know, you know, what that would have meant. And so I guess what's kind of interesting is there's a good chance what will happen is it'll take the Supreme Court too long, and then the court case would have taken too long anyway, so they won't get around to being able to do the court case on January 6th against Trump, but the Supreme Court will say what you can charge ex-presidents with. And so if Donald Trump wins, then he can sic his DOJ on Biden. And he'll know the things that he can charge Biden with or not charge Biden with. And maybe Obama. So Texas and Florida both passed laws in 2021 saying you can't ban conservatives from social media just because they're conservative. And the courts did not let those laws go into effect, and it finally got to the Supreme Court this week. And it's going to be months till we get the ruling on it. It's not sounding good. Like, you know, I'm pro-free speech. I would like social media not to be able to ban people, and certainly not ban them because they don't like their politics. Or, you know, maybe you have to do things equally, or you have to be transparent about it. But based on the questions that the Supreme Court justices ask, it's not looking real good. It's the 3-3 court. There's the three conservatives. Then there's the three middle ones who are supposed to be conservative, but they're not really. And then there's the three liberals. Three liberals, screw free speech, you know. While the left is on top, who needs free speech? If the right gets back into power, I'm sure they'll be very pro-free speech at that point. I think that's, you know, the right used to be anti, and now it's pro, as they find out it's their voices that are being silenced. But the question is, you know, is Facebook, is it like the telephone, where you can't take away someone's telephone just because they said they voted for Trump? Or is it like a newspaper, where you don't have to, if someone writes a letter to the newspaper, you don't have to publish it if you don't want to? Especially if the letter says, I'm going to vote for Trump. And maybe using Facebook, is it like Gmail? Like, can you ban someone from an email account? Or only things that everyone can see, like on Facebook? Or maybe that's friends and family. I don't know. Anyways, they don't know. We don't know. We shall see. I think some of the judges were like, what's the internet? Never heard of that. Well, you see, it's a system of tubes. And the other analogy they brought up was malls. So you have free speech in a public park, but I don't think you have free speech like in someone's store. But there was a ruling where if people wanted to pass out flyers at a mall, that was kind of like a public park. So is Facebook like a mall? It's a privately owned thing, but it's kind of a public space. Joe Biden and Donald Trump went to the border on Thursday. The press was calling it a dueling border visit. Stand back to back, take five steps, now visit the border. Joe Biden was like, the border's all messed up, and it's Donald Trump's fault. Donald Trump needs to help me, or I'll help him pass the bipartisan Senate border bill. And Donald Trump was like, 22-year-old nursing student Lakin Riley was murdered by an immigrant, and Joe Biden won't even say her name. And some other immigrant raped a 14-year-old and then stabbed someone in the face repeatedly. So I think that's the game plan for them. It looks like maybe the border is the number one issue for voters this year. And I watched the segment on it from ABC World News Tonight and NBC Nightly News. ABC is part of Disney. They're more woke. They were like, this border is Trump's fault. Every immigrant that comes across, that's Trump's fault. Sound ridiculous? Who cares? And they did not play the clip of Trump talking about Lakin Riley, that nursing student who got murdered. NBC Nightly News, on the other hand, was, I mean, they're not pro-Trump, but they played Trump saying that, and then they mentioned, you know, reminder, Lakin Riley was murdered by an immigrant. Like, her murder was pretty big news last week. It's kind of fallen off the radar. Trump's trying to bring it back. I have my theory that Morning Wire is controlling the news cycle with what they report. But I think there was like two 14-year-olds that got raped by immigrants this week. And a 2-year-old, something happened to them. I don't think it was rape, so murder. Anyways, none of those broke through. You know, a 14-year-old, if they're raped and murdered, to be blunt, then you can show their picture. But if they're just raped, you can't show their picture. So then the media doesn't want to talk about it. It's not salacious enough to, you know, raise viewership. Now, if a 14-year-old goes missing, you can show that picture. Basically, all that matters is, what does the voting public believe? I'm sure lies and even possibly truths are flying around pretty fast. What does the public believe? Well, Monmouth did some polling on the immigration and the border recently. And I think they had polled people in 2019, so you can kind of see how stuff has changed from 19 to 24. I'm not sure. I think this poll happened before Lakin Riley. I don't know if that's going to change things. But 84% of Americans think that the border situation is either very serious or somewhat serious. That's up about 15 points from 2019. 2019 was, I think, the last time when Trump was president and there wasn't a pandemic to muck things up. Anyways, very serious. People think it's much more people think it's very serious. Oh, how about building a wall? So it used to be 42% of people wanted to build a wall. Now, 53%. I think this is the first time ever that more than half, just barely more than half, of America would like to build a wall. No wall for you. Now, America's not racist. Americans are not racist, or at least white ones aren't. So they double-checked. Are immigrants coming to take away Americans' jobs? And 60% and now 62% say, no, they're not. They're just doing the jobs we don't want. We don't even want those jobs. They can have them. We love our brown-skinned sisters and brothers. Do you think immigrants commit more or less rape and murder than Americans? Well, most people think they're about the same as Americans. But it's gone from 21% to 32% who think they're more likely to rape and murder. Up about 10%. A lot of this stuff is up about 10%. Build a wall, up about 10%. Immigrants are coming here to rape and murder, up about 10%. Should asylum seekers have to stay in Mexico while they wait for their asylum to be double-checked? Or can they hang out in America while they do that? Well, it used to be 51% said make them stay in Mexico and wait. Now it's 61%, so 10% more, wait in Mexico. And then this so-called bipartisan immigration bill that if you read the bill, you're like, this is an open borders bill. But if you listen to the media, they're like, this was going to shut the border down. The Republicans are the ones who are letting them in, and Joe Biden would shut the border down with this bill. I was listening to the 538 podcast, and like they have reporters on, and then there's the 538 people who are, I don't know, they're like statisticians. And the statistician guy is like, I don't know if people are going to like this bill because it lets in more immigrants. And then the reporter lady who was on there was like, what are you talking about? This is going to shut down the border. So I was proud of 538 for not cutting that out of the podcast. But so this, whatever, this bill was not going on in 2019. So this is just a 2024 question. But do you favor or oppose the bipartisan immigration bill? And 23% favorite, 33% oppose it, and 45% have no opinion. I would say, basically, just people don't know. That's hardcore Democrats go the Democrat way, hardcore Republicans go the Republican way, and most people don't know. But even though you don't know about it, is it too tough or too weak, or is the porridge just right? So 12% said it's too tough, 47% said it's not tough enough. So I think, I mean, you know, that's 47%, that's the exact percent that votes for Trump. They don't know what's in it, but it's still not tough enough. And Democrats are mostly like, yeah, sounds good, or I still don't have an opinion. And then finally, who do you blame for blocking the passage of that bill? Republicans or Democrats? And 36% blame Republicans, 13% Democrats, and 48% blame both. So basically, people don't know what's in the bill. They don't think it's tough enough, even though they don't know what's in it. And then they blame Republicans for blocking it. Well, they say the Republicans blocked it. I don't know if that's blaming them or thank you for blocking that. The media is like, oh, they're going to blame the Republicans for blocking that. But the media doesn't talk about whether or not the public actually liked the bill, which they were not super fond of it. Let's check in on Europe. So Italy had voted in a right-wing prime minister so that she could stop immigration, and she has not stopped anything, and immigration is up in Italy. But she has a while before she has to go up for re-election. And then in Britain, they came out with the numbers. They just got like 1.4 million immigrants this past year. So I think if, you know, they're like 67 million people. If they were the size of America, that would be like 6 million immigrants. I think maybe we got 4 million immigrants this past year. So basically, Britain is getting a lot more immigrants for the size of country they are than America. And they also have a right-wing government that was brought in just to stop immigration. And they're about to be thrown out on their ear, and I think the left-wing government is going to be put in charge. I think they're like, well, hell, if the right-wingers won't stop immigration, just give us a left-wing government. I had a couple of interactions on Spotify this week. There's been some talk about trucks and truck drivers for the last couple weeks. Go back to hear the previous comments, but it continues. Chopper 22 says, Eric, do you realize that everything that exists in your home, slack you and your family, came on a truck? America would come to a halt without them. Sit in your four-wheeler and stay the fuck out of the way. Thanks for the comment, Chopper 22. And then Eric said, Chopper, you're right. My comments were mostly silly. Best to give trucks a wide berth. Thank you for the comment, Eric. And the number one way that people get turned on to a podcast is word of mouth. So please tell your friends and family to listen to me and to believe me and to possibly worship me. So I think a paradigm shift is happening with the Republican Party as they switch from the party of more war and give to the rich and go after working class and working poor voters. And Republican politicians, they've been doing it for a long time. You know, they want open borders. They hate Donald Trump, regardless of what they say on the two issues. Well, they say the opposite. And we'll see if this new crop of Republican politicians is actually any different. I mean, the Democrats got some real hardcore lefties in there, like AOC and Bernie Sanders. And, you know, now they're supporting proxy wars. So it doesn't take much for people to throw their integrity in the trash. And don't think it's only the left that does it. They all do it. But a bunch of House Republicans announced their retirement, and my tinfoil hat on that was they wanted to vote for money to Ukraine, and they knew that they were going to get thrown out on their ear by the voters. So, you know, I'm retiring. Vote for Ukraine. Later, suckers. And I don't know if that's true, because Mitch McConnell, the Republican in charge in the Senate, he just announced that he's not going to be the speaker, not the speaker, I guess minority leader, majority leader, depending on blah, blah, the leader. And he's been having health problems where he'll just like stop talking in the middle of a sentence and then pick back up like a minute later. And not really exactly like nothing had happened. So retiring because of health problems, or he can't get the open border bill that he wants. Because in the Senate, they have the open borders bill. There's no need to retire. And I think he has four more years before he's up for re-election. So this is pointing towards a paradigm shift. We'll see how MAGA, the guy who replaces him, is. I think I'm going to use send money to Ukraine, not send money to Ukraine as the criteria. And we'll see if the guy who replaces him wants to send money or not. And if it's someone who doesn't want to, then things really are changing. And Mitch McConnell, he's staying in power until the election, until Trump. So I don't know, you know, maybe basically they can wait and see if Trump wins. And then maybe that if Trump wins, you go someone who doesn't want to send money to Ukraine. And if Trump loses, you throw in someone who's going to be Biden's best buddy. We don't know. And maybe Trump will be like, oh, it's my war now. Well, heck, let's send money. Your war was a failure. My war is a smashing success. Don't do it, Trumpy. Don't do it. But the concept of a paradigm shift is interesting. It originally comes from science when, like, some sort of scientific school of thought is totally changed for another. Like evolution or quantum physics. I think evolution was like, before that, they're like, God created all the animals. And then after evolution, they're like, God created all the animals, but natural selection makes the giraffe have a long neck. And so what's interesting about major paradigm shifts is people do not change their minds. What you have to do is wait for all the people that believe the previous thing to die and then be replaced by people who believe the new thing. Like quantum physics, that happened maybe 100 years ago. And once they started discovering, oh, I did a test and the quantum blah blah, it wasn't like all the physicists who've been working, you know, they've been working at their university for 50 years. They weren't like, oh, wow, all that stuff I thought was totally wrong. I'm going to go with this new quantum physics. No, those people retired and died. And then the new people coming up, you know, depending on how old you were, believe the new quantum stuff. And I looked up paradigm shift on Google, and it gives you AI answers, whatever. And it's like, oh, it wants to do a bunch of social justice examples. Well, that's what I got. Paradigm shift examples, I asked, and it was like, I don't know, gay rights or something. And that one did not really require a whole generation of people to die off, so I don't know if they're just misusing the word paradigm shift for their social justice ends, or maybe it means something different now. It's been devalued by DEI. Google's stock price came down a bit lately because of their AI Gemini being racist against white people. Some people are saying this is their Bud Light moment. I don't think anti-whiteism itself made their stock go down, because then tons of companies would be having problems. But I think it showed shareholders that the company just isn't being run that well. The guys on the All In podcast were talking about it, and apparently at Google, if you have a meeting with over a certain number of people, then a DEI employee has to go there and watch your meeting. And so maybe some AI researcher was going to bring up the fact that the AI is making all of the Viking pictures black women, and then you look over and see the DEI person in the corner, and you're like, you know, maybe I won't bring that up. So they already made changes to the AI. The question is, are there going to be changes at the company where they like put making a good product that people like over diversity? And Google search itself is very manipulated to try and get you to vote the correct way. So it would be nice if they would leave that thing alone. All right, I'm going to hold my breath until Google changes, and I'm just going to record it here. So when you hear a whole bunch of silence, that's me holding my breath until Google changes. Meh, never mind. And I guess Google is famous for never firing anyone. There was an HBO show called Silicon Valley where they had a fake version of Google on the show, and the running joke was that didn't matter what you did, you'd never get fired. But when I think of Google employees, you know, I know who the founders are. I know kind of who the CEO is, and that's it, except for James Damore. So about 10 years ago, Google had a thing where they asked all their employees, if you ever have a concern, or, you know, you think you have something that can improve the company, you know, let's discuss it. You know, send out a company-wide email and we'll talk about your concerns. And this guy, James Damore, he was autistic, good at computers, but retarded when it comes to interactions with people. And he went and did a bunch of research and posted it in a company-wide email saying that women, when given the choice, do not like to work with computers, and that's why most of the people at Google are men. Women like to work with people, men like to work with things. People, things. And they fired his ass. Bring any concern you have to the whole company and we won't have any repercussions. You're fired. And I think that lesson was learned loud and clear for everyone at Google ever since. It would take quite the big change to change Google. I mean, they have great, great, great power, and they think with that comes great, great, great responsibility to lie and manipulate the public. And so OpenAI's ChatGPT is the best AI, and then Google Gemini is trying to be the second best. But Facebook has a AI too called Llama. You know, it's a large language model, LLM, and Llama has an L, an L, and an M in it also. And people have been complaining about how woke ChatGPT and Gemini are. And so Zuckerberg said that Llama 3, which is the next one coming out, is going to prioritize telling the truth a little bit more. And I think Facebook was feeling under the gun when everyone else had a better AI than it, so they made theirs open source. So when you hear about some little company coming out with their own AI, they're just using the Facebook AI. And there's a few steps involved in creating an AI, and by the time you get the free one from Facebook, it's already woke. So I mean, they have to go earlier into the process to de-wokeify it. Now some tinfoil hat time. So the media and people in power, and Disney especially, they've been pulling their advertising off of Twitter because Twitter doesn't have the right politics, isn't censoring people who support Trump, basically. plus vaccine skeptics, etc. So I've kind of looked into it. I don't think we know. You know, is there more racism or whatever on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or TikTok? But left-wing organizations, they go and accuse Twitter of, you know, having Nazis or whatever just because they want to take them down and get the advertisers scared and make them leave. And then Twitter is always like, what about Instagram? They got child predators. You know, Disney, you're advertising on Instagram with a bunch of pedophiles. And people in power are like, ignore. Children being predatored is neither here nor there, but free speech threatens my power and my money, so that's what's important. But things ain't real until the New York Times writes an article about it, and this week they wrote an article saying that, I don't know, I guess Instagram has a new thing where you can have paid subscribers, and moms are putting their little girls on there, and then men are subscribing to whatever, the little girls' subscriber-only Instagram accounts. And that doesn't allow nudity, but you know, it's a lot of bikinis and leotards and eight-year-olds or something. And then subscribers can also do direct messages privately to the, you know, to the moms who run the account and try and buy special photos that are off, you know, off of Instagram. I think it was Morning Wire that was talking about that, if you want to hear all about that in greater detail. But the tinfoil hat part is Zuckerberg just said that, yeah, so he said that the new AI is not going to be as woke. And I just think, you know, is that like, oh, you come after Instagram? Because that's owned by the same company as Facebook. So you come after Instagram, I'm going to make a non-woke AI. See how you like that? Well, that ain't true, but it's fun. But what is true is that people in the C-suite, senior executives, are presented with another example where DEI can be a pain in their ass. It's not something that's always good and is going to make their life always better. Sometimes it's going to be a pain in the ass and you may want to not do it as much. And also this week, a bunch of the big tech companies like Microsoft and Amazon and OpenAI, they all invested in a company called Figure AI, which is a company that makes humanoid robots. And I think they do the software too, but they make the hardware, like the actual arms and the legs, the robot itself. And so OpenAI is investing in them and also wants to, you know, use their experience of making ChatGPT and stuff to help make the brain for the robot. Basically, OpenAI does not want to make the metal robot itself. They just want to work on the brain. And so the way they're going to do that is with Figure AI. I mean, Figure AI should be called Figure Robot, but whatever. And their robot is a nice metal-looking thing. Tesla also has a robot that's a nice metal-looking humanoid thing. And, like, these robots are getting better very, very quickly. Like, a year ago, these robots were not doing much, and they look like crap. And now, a year later, they are doing stuff. I think it was Figure AI said their robot could do, you know, certain human things at 17% the speed of a human. They had it autonomously moving boxes like a warehouse worker. So I guess currently what a human can do in an hour, this robot would take 5 hours. But a year ago, it couldn't do it at all. So, you know, a year from now, maybe it'll be as fast as a human. And I think Tesla and Figure AI, they're going to be pushing each other. And then the economics of robots is interesting. Like, what you want to do with them is put people out of work. And so there's this business term, addressable market. And that's basically how many robots can you sell? Well, how many workers are there? Earth has maybe 8 billion people, so 5 or 6 billion workers. So that means we need to build 6 billion robots. And in fact, you know, you want more. Once you replace every human, you still build more robots. But let's just start off with, we need to build, I don't know, 5 billion robots. Basically, no individual company is prepared to crank out 5 billion robots. So there's room for many companies to crank out as many frickin' robots as they can. And like, Tesla's been putting videos of their robot online, but now they're starting to dial that back because Chinese companies are just watching Tesla robot videos frame by frame and copying everything that they can see to copy. So Chinese, you know, made in China robots are coming too. And you never know if you hit a roadblock. But basically, if you were to look a year ago to today and project forward, you would say robots are going to be doing human jobs in, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. Like almost all human jobs. That sounds crazy, but whenever the robots do take over, it is going to be crazy. And speaking of people losing their jobs, so I've been talking about how Vice Media went out of business, and maybe a month ago, Sports Illustrated also went out of business. So I think that's all true, but I was telling a buddy, and he's like, I don't believe that Sports Illustrated, you know, been around so long, is out of business. So you go to SI.com, the website's still there, and they will take your money for a subscription to a magazine and send it to you in the mail. But also, all the writers who used to work there and editors, they're gone. It's different people, new people. So I think these things are just a shell of their former selves with new people, but I don't know exactly what's going on. Basically waiting to see the next Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. Are they going to put a transy on the cover? Can I say transy? I want something. I want something. I know I can't say tranny fluid, but transgender is too many syllables. Can I say transy? Elon Musk is suing OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, trying to make them go back to being a nonprofit and make ChatGPT 4 and all the ones after that, which is the latest one, open source, so that anyone can make their own version and read the text, or, you know, read what it does, go in and look at its wokenesses, do whatever you want with it. And apparently OpenAI was created about 10 years ago. Sam Altman and a guy named Brockman, they went to Elon Musk and said, give us money, we want to create artificial intelligence and make it a nonprofit and give it to the world to protect the world from the Terminator robots that are coming to kill us all. And Elon Musk started the company with $45 million of his own dollars. I think maybe he had $75 million into it total somehow. And this I'm not sure. I think maybe in 2020 there was a falling out and Elon kind of just left. I don't even, kind of was like, keep the money, I'm out of here. Maybe. I don't think he said that, but that was, I think that was kind of how they were hoping and how it seemed. But now he's like, I paid for all this stuff. You know, I guess to start the company, they had to hire the best AI researchers away from Google. The whole point was Google was going to invent the Terminator robots. And so they were going to stop Google. And so they were, it took $45 million to hire these guys away from Google because they make AI researchers make millions of dollars a year. Or at least the top dog ones do. And Elon, he's only suing for like $35,000. That amount keeps it in the state court or something. And OpenAI is now, I don't know, has a expected market cap of $100 billion. And they're buddy-buddy with Microsoft, who's given them many billions of dollars of server usage. So does Elon really want them to be a nonprofit that's doing all their stuff for the betterment of mankind? Or, you know, hey, just give him so many billions of dollars and he'll go away. Like, he's not asking for money, but I don't think that ever stops him from doing a settlement. Give him, you know, how many billions to make him go away? He's pretty rich. It would be a lot. Or maybe, I mean, he has these crazy ideas. He may really think that it's going to destroy the world and no amount of money will stop him. Plus, he started his own AI company that's like way behind OpenAI and its development, and wouldn't it be nice to, you know, hamstring some of your competitors? And the lawsuit is like Elon Musk versus Altman, Brockman, OpenAI Inc., OpenAI LLC, OpenAI A LLC, OpenAI B LLC, like literally like maybe 10 different companies, OpenAI this, OpenAI that. And it's, I think it's all of that is because they got a very weird, complicated corporate structure, because it's a nonprofit that owns for-profit. I think of the nonprofit is at the top with a whole bunch of for-profit companies underneath it, because they're trying to get, I mean, they're trying to get around it. They don't want to be a nonprofit company anymore. I think just because compute costs so much and you got to, whatever, you got to work in the real life with money to get that stuff done. Charity ain't going to do it. But it was supposed to be a charity, so maybe Elon Musk, you know, can, whatever, you know, not have his case, like, thrown out right away to, at a minimum. And then apparently if a charity, you know, if you set up a charity that's going to feed African kids or something, and then you, I don't know, you use the money for something else. You use the money for eating African kids, and you go, well, it's pretty close. Well, not just anyone can sue you. Normally it would be a state attorney general from, you know, California or whatever state you're in. So normally Elon Musk would not be able to sue them. He wouldn't have the standing. But he did give a lot of money to them to start the thing, so maybe he's the guy to do it. Let's talk war. Israel was trying to deliver food to northern Gaza, the part where they told everyone to get out of northern Gaza, but there's still some people left there, and I think they're starving. And so they took 38 semi-trucks and some tanks to go give them some food, and the Palestinians started looting, or trying to loot the trucks, trying to step over each other to get the food. And then I think they got the idea of attacking some of the Israeli army soldiers that were there with the tanks, and then the soldiers were like, we will shoot you, and then they did shoot maybe a few of them. And then there was a stampede, and people got crushed, and the trucks, I think they were driven by Palestinians that they hired, but anyways, the truck drivers didn't want to get killed either, and so they started driving over some of the Palestinians to get the hell out of there. And so some people are like, the Israelis killed 100 Palestinians, and the Israelis are like, we shot less than 10 of them, and we shot them in the leg only. I mean, basically, it's war. People get killed. This was a weird way for people to get killed. There was video of it. Makes it blow up on the news more. The question is, does this make foreign governments drop the hammer on Israel more, or, you know, piss off the Biden administration? We don't know. Piss off Democratic voters. That's right, there was a Democratic primary for Biden in Michigan, which is the state that has the most Arabs. And they had a thing where it was like vote uncommitted, basically vote not for Biden if you're a Democrat. And a number of people did not vote for Biden. It's a primary, so it wasn't like go vote for Trump. And I don't think Arabs are big fans of Trump. Although, like, if you're a Muslim, you're not a big fan of Trump. Except if you're a Muslim, you're also not a big fan of the gays. So, Arabs are a little, I don't know, they're a little more evenly divided than you might think. And then over in Ukraine, Russia has been advancing since they took that Avdiivka city the other week. They've been advancing maybe about a half a kilometer a day lately, which they used to not be advancing at all. They were just stuck fighting in the same city for months and months and months. So we'll see if that half a kilometer a day thing keeps happening. But that's a change, a positive change for Russia. And Ukraine has had to fall back as Russia goes forward. And what we don't know is, are they falling back to positions where they're going to be more dug in, or they don't have anything to fall back to? I think there's a river coming up soon in this place where Russia's moving forward. And so Ukraine is going to go probably on the backside of that river. And then can Russia cross a river? That's a very hard thing to do offense. You know, that's, rivers make it easy defense, hard offense. That'll be something to see. And that's probably coming up next week. And last week I said that America had stopped sending artillery to Ukraine in January. So I went and looked that up, and I think, you know, the Republicans in the House of Representatives, they're not approving the money for Ukraine. It doesn't mean that Ukraine has been totally shut down with weapons, but they have been getting a lot less weapons. And America had already taken Russia's money. Well, we froze Russia's bank accounts. You know, the country is more like just the people. If you were a Russian and you had a bank account in London, for instance, it got frozen. And the money's just been sitting there. And now that the American taxpayer is not being allowed to give them to give Ukraine a bunch of money. The Biden administration is like, well, why don't we just give them the money that we took from Russia? Well, the stuff that we froze. But it's in European banks, and so Europe is, I don't know if we want to let America just take one country's money and give it to another country. Like, we hate Russia too, but that might be setting off a bad precedent. I think every country has to ask themselves, are you ever going to get on the bad side of America? And normally with Europe, you'd be like, well, European countries will never get on the bad side of America. But a bunch of them are thinking about going right-wing anti-immigration, and that's racist, and who knows who gets in charge after, you know, Kamala Harris. She might be like, that's racist, we're taking all your money. Sorry, Italy. And the guy in charge of France, Macron, he said, maybe NATO should put boots on the ground in Ukraine. And then all the other NATO countries are like, oh, no, 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 we're not doing boots on the ground. And Putin was like, nukey, nukey. And then finally, Finland, I think they might be on the border with Russia. Anyways, they are giving weapons to Ukraine. And normally when countries give weapons to Ukraine, they say, here's a bunch of weapons, but you can only use them in Ukraine. Do not be shooting stuff at Moscow in particular. But Finland is like, here's a bunch of weapons, shoot them wherever you want. And I don't think we know if they have super long range stuff mixed in with those yet. Because if they start shooting missiles into Moscow, well, something will happen. For the truckers out there who need more content, here's an old segment from November 2nd, 2021 about lesbians not wanting to have sex with transers, even though they're trans women or women, damn it. Twitter handle, @religionofwoke. Please give me 5 stars on Apple. If you're a lesbian who won't let a trans woman put their hot dog in your donut, then you're a bigot. You're almost as bad as a Trump voter. But you're not as bad as someone who chooses Chevy over Ford. Today on the Anti-Woke Podcast. So the new Blocked and Reported is talking about something called the cotton ceiling. Kind of like the glass ceiling where women, whatever, they can rise so high in a company, but then people stop promoting them. I mean, I think today they're like, we need 3 women in the highest reaches. So they're like, they just grab the first 3 women they can grab and affirmative action them right to the top. But anyways, in the past, I'm sure women were passed over, just like men are passed over today. But apparently the cotton ceiling, I haven't heard how it got that name, but anyways, the cotton ceiling is when someone doesn't want to have sex with a transgender person. And I guess like one of the more famous cases, there was a lesbian porn star who, whatever, had been signed up to have, I guess, lesbian sex with a trans woman, you know, born a man. And when she found out what was down there, she refused to have sex with that person. This lesbian only has sex with biological women, basically. And I don't think trans people are complaining about all the lesbians that they can't do. Mostly they're talking about straight people. Like, you know, whichever, you know, a trans woman, whichever way she goes, she probably wants to have sex with straight men. Anyways, and then some straight men don't want to have sex with her. And so, that's not fun. You know, I don't know if it's fair or not, but whatever, you know, if you see a large, you know, if you're like, oh, half the population is smoking hot and I want to have sex with them, and then that half of the population is like, well, we don't want to have sex with you, you know, that could be a problem. But I like stats. So here's the funny thing. So they did, you know, they did some sort of survey, and obviously straight people do not want to have, I mean, obviously, it's obvious to me, straight people do not want to have sex with trans men or women. Actually, that's not true. I think that lesbians love to have sex with trans men. Basically, lesbians like to have sex with people who were born a woman and take a bunch of testosterone. But no one really cares about trans men. You know, they don't have a lot of mental health issues. They don't get murdered. Whatever. They're kind of just like lesbians who take steroids. They're lesbians on steroids. Anyways, they're not the issue. The issue is always trans women, because it just goes along, for whatever reason, it goes along with a lot of, like, serious mental health and drug issues and, you know, prostitution and whatnot. So that's the people that people want to help because they're the most downtrodden. Anyways, so the stat is straight people don't want to have sex with trans women. But you know who also doesn't want to have sex with trans women? Trans women. So I think, you know, most trans women are like, yeah, I want to have sex with a straight dude. And then maybe some trans women are like, I want to have sex with whatever, straight women. But anyways, the kind of person they want to have sex with ain't someone just like themselves. And that's a little bit of a shame. They should get over that and then... Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, like, I always thought, like say you go to a party, you know, what's the difference between straight and gay? Say you go to a party, you know, and you, whatever, you're going to drink some alcohol and try and hook up with someone. Well, if everyone's straight, then that means half that, you know, if it's a 50-50 mix of men and women at the party, then that means half of the people in that party, whatever, are useless to you. In fact, they're your competition. It'd be better if none of those, you know, say you're a man. If you were a man, it's like, you really don't need any of those men there. If it was just you and pure women, like, that would be perfect. One of them would probably, you know, lower their criteria and go home with you if they get drunk enough. Anyways, that's, you know, for 90-whatever percent of the population, that's how things are. And that's certainly how things have been throughout, you know, the last 100,000 years. Maybe not a party, it's a village. But my point is like, say you have like a gay man party, then it's just, whatever, every single person there is someone you might, you know, might be attracted to you. Basically doubles your odds. I mean, it's pretty awesome. I always kind of, I'm not going to say I regretted not being gay, but certain things like that, you know, like, you don't, I mean, I don't believe you get to choose. So like, if, you know, if it had been taken out of my hands and I had been struck gay by God's lightning bolt, it would have made some parties pretty awesome. That makes me think of another stat. I think there's like a... There is. There's a... People think that gay men are promiscuous, basically. And, you know, people think that. When people think something, I go and look up the stats. Let's find out. Is that true, basically? And I forget the numbers, but the answer was most gay men... You know, 50, 80, 90%, I don't know. Most gay men are no more promiscuous than straight men. But there's a small a less than half, you know, it may be 5%, it may be 49%, I don't remember. But a minority of gay men are crazy promiscuous. Like, you know, they'll have, whatever, I'm going to make up some numbers, but, you know, like maybe... You know, if one gay dude has 100 sex partners, it just raises the average for all gay men. But, you know, it's basically, you know, maybe gay, you know, almost all gay men have 5 sex partners in their life or something, 10. And then one of them has 1,000. It's like, boom. Now it seems like gay men have a super high average amount of sex partners. But if you meet a gay man on the street, he's probably not in that category. He's probably just a normal person as far as promiscuity goes. So people should, I don't know. I don't think people are going around creating problems for gay people by thinking they're promiscuous anymore. You know, maybe in the 90s is kind of where I heard that idea. But if you're believing that, you should adjust your views a little bit accordingly. All right, so I'm learning about this right along with you. And I guess the cotton ceiling is... It's usually actually applied. It's trans women and lesbians. Lesbians who do not want to have sex with trans women, and then you get to call them bigots. These lesbian bigots don't want to have sex with someone who calls himself a woman and has a penis. I guess I'll say I don't have like any too many crazy fetishes, but I could see coming up with a lesbian fetish. Like, you know, if I had to have a fetish, I think a lesbian fetish would be, that'd be one of the first that I'd pick off the shelf. And then, if I could get lesbians to have sex with me, because I say you're a bigot until they do, I don't know, there's a certain appeal to that. That's the first good thing I ever heard about being a trans woman. Then Katie Herzog, she's the Blocked and Reported girl, lesbian, she brings up the concept of deceit as rape. Like, if you deceive someone, and then they, you know, consensually, you know, what would otherwise be consensual sex, except that you deceive them to get them to agree to that consensual sex, is that rape? I'm not sure, but that's an interesting concept. I'm a millionaire, baby. Let's have sex. Next day, I'm unemployed. I got no money. I mean, I don't know. I don't think that would count as rape. I guess I'm being a little transphobic. If you say that you're a different gender or whatever, if you say you're a different biological sex than you are to get someone to sleep with you, for some reason that seems worse to me than just like saying you're rich and then not being rich, or saying you're a Democrat but you're actually a Republican, saying you voted for Biden but you actually voted for Trump. Huh, you could do a lot of these. Saying that the best James Cameron movie is Titanic, but you actually think it's Terminator. Saying you like Ford, but you actually like Chevy. Say you like cooking, but you actually like to just watch football and drink beer. Some of these are going to be long-haul deceits. I mean, see, at some point you just get down to, like, every couple deceives each other and says they're better than they are because they want to get the best partner. Like, I never sit around the house in sweatpants and eat cheese and just fart. What? That's rape. You told me you were a snappy dresser. And you ate Beano. So, you know, besides calling you a bigot, another phrase they bandy about is genital fetishist. So that's pretty funny. But Jesse brings it up. It's like self-identification. You know, maybe you self-identify as a woman. Maybe what you want to do is just, you know, you find the person you want to boink, and you just say, I self-identify as the person that you should boink, that you should do some boinking with. I can get on board with that. So I'll give you my upshot on all this, which is, I like what the trans activists are doing. This is not exactly right. This is a little jokey, but basically the trans activists, they're like, black people are racist. Lesbians are homophobic. It's a good circular firing squad. And the lion-ass media is, you know, they're eating it up and then shooting themselves in the foot. So it's good. I'm going to bring in a clip of Katie Herzog here. Love her. And I don't know. It makes me think. I had a friend. A friend was a woman. She was an attractive woman who, whatever, she had all the things going for her that an attractive woman would have. This is when we were younger, like teenagers. And I think she said once to me that she wished she had been born a boy. Like, she wasn't a lesbian. Whatever. She was a completely normal girl and grew up to be a completely normal woman. But, you know, I don't know if it was like you can pee standing up or if it was, I don't know what was going through her mind. But she basically saw some advantages in being a boy. And so it makes me wonder about this thing that's going on with what used to be lesbians. Anyway, I'm going to let Katie say it. Not because I'm afraid to say it, but she says it good. And it's always fun to put in a clip sometimes.
It's tricky. So like during the mid-century civil rights movement, there were white people who didn't view black people as human, and they were told, no, you have to let them into your diners. I mean, isn't that, they had to have their worldview change. Maybe this isn't any different. Maybe 20 years from now, we'll realize that male and female were bullshit categories and anyone can be what they want.
I fundamentally disagree with
that.
Wow,
you're a bigot.
And to me, I've said this before, but like my principal interest in this movement, in this trend, has nothing to do with trans women. It's about the fact that I look around and I see so many women transitioning to males. Like, I have, when I moved to Seattle, I hung out with a group of five homosexual females. Four of them are now non-binary. Three of them have got on testosterone. Two of them, at least, have had top surgery. There's something going on here, and this is not like And if it were just that group, like if it were a one-off, it would seem like an anomaly. But this has happened in every city that I've lived in as an adult. And that's my primary interest in this. It's got nothing to do with trans women. It's not about the concealing. It's about why the fact that so many women are transitioning or becoming non-binary. There's something fucking going on here. And like, I'm fascinated by it. I'm disturbed by it. And I'm disturbed by the fact that this is something that we're apparently not supposed to talk about. And when I do talk about it, I get so many messages from people thanking me for talking about it because they feel like they can't.
I guess I'll leave it with I'm fatter and I'm lazier than I wish I was. And I'm pretty sure if I could get a bunch of testosterone injected into me, it would help those two problems. Basically, I need to identify as someone who wants tons of testosterone given to them for free by their health insurance. But I think that is currently not a recognized trans identity. Shoot. Well, that's the end of this episode. Links in the description, and thanks for listening.